Welcome back.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. Presented by The Morning Call, I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us this evening. We have a great show lined up with some fabulous guests. We're going to be talking Lehigh Lafayette and previewing the big game this weekend. And also, we're going to talk a little DMV high school football playoffs in just a little bit. So let's introduce our special panel tonight. From left to right across your screen, we have the Lafayette beat writer for The Morning Call, Mr. Paul Reinhart, the voice of Lehigh football, Mr. Matt Kerr, and co-host of the program and senior sports writer of The Morning Call, and beat writer for Lehigh University, although he's not going to show any objectivity or subjectivity tonight here, Mr. Keith Edward Groller. You know, gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us, and I liked your haircut so much that I tried to get my own trim this week.
Thank you. It looks nice.
I feel like I lost about 10 pounds.
Okay. Well, thank you for the compliment. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. I know a lot of big game rivalry 153 is this week, so we'll get to all that talk in just a little bit. Keith, though, I do want to compliment you and give you condolences because I know you wrote a great article a week and a half ago about the rivalry between Allen and Dieruff, which included Nate Hobgood-Chittick. And then, sadly, you had to write an in-memoriam piece on him a few days later, which was very well done.
Yeah, it was a shocker. I mean, the day that story hit print, our quote, we had a quote in the thing there saying it was great to be alive. And then, of course, that previous night he had passed away in Southern California. And just a great young man and meant a lot to my family. I was in St. Louis, and he took good care of me right after he won the Super Bowl with the Rams that following summer. And just a great gentleman, and I'm just glad I got to talk to him one last time.
Yeah, it was sad. We've lost, in fact, last week on the show as part of your grumblings. We talked about losing people too soon, and it's been a tough year. We have lost a lot of good people this year.
Absolutely. It's been a tough year, and as you get older, you lose more and more of your friends. And I know Paul and Matt could speak to that as well. It gets tougher, and every year it seems like we lose more and more special people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul did bring a little thing with show and tell. Do you want to introduce what you brought here and why it's so significant here for Mr. Groller in particular?
I'm covering John Garrett, the new Lafayette football coach, and I find that in 1987, Princeton University played Lehigh, and Keith Groller covered the game in which John Garrett and his brother Jason Garrett, the coach of the Cowboys, and his other brother Judd Garrett were all in the game, and Princeton drove for a late touchdown, a late field goal, won on a field goal with 8 seconds left in the game, and I'm told that the timeout that they had to take or a measurement for first down might have been a bogus thing, and Princeton guys were rolling out of bounds to stop the clock on that drive. It was at Princeton, and so Groller mentioned the Jason and John and Judd Garretts. He mentioned them in that story.
Paul likes the piece because at this point in time they were called the Engineers, and the Engineers is mentioned about 6 times in this piece, so he's very fond of that. And Paul
did they change that?
I heard something about that, Matt. I don't know.
Well, I've been doing the game since 97. They've been the Mountain Hawks that whole time, officially.
And it's funny, Paul, you kept this article all these years, and there's all these red check marks around it in circles, though. What's that mean?
The sad news in 30 years, I didn't get any better. That's the sad news.
It looks pretty much like you.
Yeah, just as poorly in 2017 as I did in 87.
No, that's great. It's great. You know, I wish I knew who scored the touchdown, but.
Yeah. Well, let's go back before we talk about the game this Saturday. It's kind of been up and down years for both teams. I mean, Lafayette certainly has had some great moments this year and some down moments. Lehigh started the year 0-5, and now they're playing for a Patriot League championship. So, Matt, we'll start with you. Talk about the roller coaster leading up to this week.
Well, they open with Villanova, a team at the time was number 9 or number 10, and they probably should have won that game. Mm-hmm. They lost 38-35, and they were driving. And Don Bragalone, who would go on to have a tremendous season, fumbled that day, and Lehigh loses by 3, and then it was downhill from there. They got beaten at Monmouth. Monmouth turns out to be a good team.
One loss,
and playing Kennesaw State to get into the tournament this weekend. And then Penn and Yale were just total blowouts. And then probably the low point of the season, we go to Staten Island for a night game on September 30th, and Brad Mays admittedly, he said it himself, worst game of his career since he's been playing football since he was 5 years old. He threw five picks that night, and Lehigh lost to a not very good Wagner team, 31-20. And then Patriot League play came, and it's been a different Lehigh team. They've won four of five since then.
Well, the big one, I think, the one that turned their season around was the one at Colgate.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the defense hadn't stopped anybody with any regularity until that game. And when they had to have that one, I mean, Colgate was ahead by 14 points. And they held them to 10 points in the second half. They got a key turnover late. Bragalone, that's when Bragalone really started to get going, and that was the win. Now, they had a little stumble, but they could afford a stumble against Fordham. Looking at it from a Lehigh perspective, I thought that loss could be send them on a downward spiral. But, you know, to be honest, the schedule softened a little bit, and you had Bucknell and
Georgetown
followed,
right.
You know, so they regrouped after that.
I mean, Fordham is probably the most disappointing team in the Patriot League this year. Mm-hmm. They were picked preseason mm-hmm. to finish second to Lehigh, and both of them are, you know, sitting there with six losses right now. But that was a big turnaround game, and Lehigh got lucky in a bit, too, because three Colgate touchdowns were called back mm-hmm. by penalty. Mm-hmm. Three. That could have been another blowout.
Let's face it, the Patriot League this year is just very...
It's down.
Yeah, mediocre. It is not good football. I mean, mm-hmm. Lafayette had the same thing. I mean, they gave up 166 points in the first four games of the year, you know, and all of a sudden they play, you know, they play Holy Cross and they play Fordham and they give up 10 to one school and 14 to the other and they win two games, and you know, it's like, where is this coming from? You know,
that Holy Cross loss was probably the one that cost Tom Gilmore his job. I mean, by going for it on fourth down on his own 32-yard line in a tie game, and they ended up, you know.
Yeah, there's no question about that. That was a real unfortunate thing to a coach in the Patriot League losing his job.
Yeah, that never
in
happens.
The middle of the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look at it, and Chris, you're kind enough to provide this information here. There's only one team with a winning record.
Yeah.
That's Colgate. Bucknell's 5-5, and the rest are going to end with losing records. So that speaks volumes about the quality of the league this year.
I think everybody agrees that Colgate is probably the best all-around team.
Yeah, but on that day,
Lehigh beat them.
Right.
And if Lehigh wins on Saturday, they'll go, and Colgate won't.
Mm-hmm. And, Paul, you know, going back to those two wins that Lafayette had, it seemed like, I know here, because we have certain people that cover Lafayette on a regular basis here, there was a lot of excitement after those two wins and genuine thought that, hey, maybe we can make a run and be part of the Patriot League, the race for the championship. Did you feel that they had a shot at that point?
Well, when they beat Fordham and Holy Cross, I figured, well, you know, they can be in the league race now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can play against those two teams. Because you had Bucknell and you had Georgetown coming up and Lehigh, you knew that they're going to score a ton of points. But the others, you knew that they had a possibility to be there. Mm-hmm. They could just as easily have won them, too. I mean, they shut out Bucknell. The defense didn't give Bucknell a point. But two pick sixes, one in overtime, ended up, you know, they got beat by that. And so, I thought, I have plans to go to Tennessee to see my great-grandchildren for Thanksgiving. And I thought for a while, wow, you know, if Lafayette, you know, keeps playing like this, you know, that trip is going to be a problem. I told Groller, he better get ready to go.
Well, Matt, Keith, did you see a turning point in terms of what they were doing? Because I know at one point you wrote an article this week, I believe, Keith, talking about that the team never lost confidence. Did you see anything in terms of either something on the field or off the field that kind of switched and turned their season around?
They made some personnel changes mm-hmm. on the defensive side of the ball, and they got more aggressive calling the defense. Mm-hmm. You know, like still gave up points. I mean, the fewest points they've given up in a game is 21.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in both of the last two games when they gave up 21, there were two garbage time scores. So, but they made some personnel changes and they got more aggressive. They finally got some sacks. They finally got some turnovers. I mean, there was a long time in the season when they had neither.
Right. I'm not sure that they've improved as much as they look at. they played softer people toward the end. I mean, that non-league schedule was pretty tough. I mean, I know Wagner was a disappointing loss, but you know, looking back now, Monmouth and Yale and Penn and Villanova are pretty good programs. I felt like offensively they needed to stabilize too and get more balance. And when they decided that we're gonna pound the way with Bragg a little more. They still throw the ball quite a bit.
Sure.
But when you really strive to get balance, I thought that was a big thing, because there was a couple games where you thought the offense could have bailed them out. Even in some of those early games, when they scored a lot of points, they had chances and there were drives that weren't successful with the game and the balance. I think now they found the right formula and had to give the ball to 32 and have them go left, right, and up the middle.
Well, he wasn't healthy in the beginning of the season.
That's
He missed, the Monmouth game, didn't play it at all, and has 1,200 yards and leads the nation in touchdowns, the FCS nation in touchdowns, with 16 rushing and 19 overall. And he's only a junior. He's the first Lehigh player ever to have 3 1,000-yard seasons, and he's still got another whole season to go.
But to speak to that confidence, and, you know, we have these weekly sessions with Andy Cohen. It was almost eerie how calm he was. I was more upset. I was more irritated. I remember at Fordham, I'm like, you know, I drove like, you know, basically I'm going to spend 5 hours on the road, and I saw it's just
well, there was four turnovers in that
they
game.
They didn't put out a great effort, and I'm like, I drove all this time for this, and Andy was remarkably calm. Well, you know, of course there was a bad injury. We had some tough injuries this year.
Yeah.
People being taken off the field in
three
ambulances.
Three of them.
But he just had a confidence that he felt like they were going to win out the remaining games.
And they're one game away from doing that.
Absolutely.
Paul, were you, this was your first chance to look at John Garrett. How did he handle some of the low points this year,
first year as a head coach? Well, he's a coach speak kind of a guy. He speaks a lot in generalities. He doesn't get real specific. You know, he doesn't give you a lot of information. And for the most part, it's, you know, I'm really proud of the effort of the kids, you know, and they fought to the end and that kind of thing. And that was in, no matter who they were playing, he was that way. And so it's really hard to read that guy. Mm-hmm. I'm having a very hard time reading him. With Frank Tivani, you knew whether he was happy or mad. You know it.
Trust me, I knew the anger part.
Yeah. But with John Garrett, there is no anger part. You know, he's a very positive kind of a guy. And sometimes I'm wondering, you know, how can that be? I mean, when you have a team that rushes the ball for an average of 24 yards a game, and you're the head coach and the offensive coordinator, and you can be, you know, calm about that. You know, that's bewildering to me.
It's probably more healthy to be calm. And both of these guys, both, Andy and John Garrett have apparently gone through this season and stayed calm. Mm-hmm. That's how you get to be an old guy someday.
You know, Frank, even though he would always say, he roots for Lehigh every which I never bought. But, I mean,
he would say
that he was a big Lehigh fan except for the last game, which... whatever. but Paul, our good friend, and I know he's a big fan of yours, Chuck Burton, he wonders if Garrett gets the meaning of this game, how important it is to these two schools and two communities. He said all the time, I don't know if Garrett's going to get how much this game means, this rivalry game.
Well, that's really hard to tell. And we kind of went after, I kind of went after him about some of that. You know, and he said, I mean, his dad coached at Lehigh in 1958. It was his first coaching job. You know, so he says, I know what it is. I know what it is. But I asked him after the Colgate game. I said, you know, did you show your kids the movie of the Lehigh Lafayette game from 2014 in Yankee Stadium, big victory for the, and he said, no, he hadn't, you know, and I asked him again a little later, this was on Tuesday at the media luncheon, and he said, 3 years is a long time in football. Mm. Like, You know, it didn't matter. And yet, to me, I felt that if those young kids, particularly the young freshman, mm-hmm. and he's got a freshman playing quarterback, for those kids to see that kind of a thing at Lehigh, that Lehigh Lafayette game in Yankee Stadium, where the Leopards went crazy, you know, for them to see that would be important. But
I think that day, I don't know if they've looked at the film quite a bit, but that feeling of being embarrassed in that setting, and arguably the biggest crowd,
48,000 people ever, there that day.
Right. It was a large Lehigh contingent mm-hmm. of fans. They probably had more people there in Lafayette.
Yeah.
I think that was a motivating factor for what has happened with Lehigh the last three years.
Well, certainly the Shafnisky, the 2 years mm-hmm. after that, because
he
did not have, you know, a good nobody on Lehigh had
nobody
a good game
did.
That
no
day.
One. Especially on defense too.
They couldn't stop Ross Sherman. He had 300 yards rushing. Yeah. They don't have 300 yards as a team
no.
for
mm-hmm.
the whole season.
No.
He had 300 yards that day, and you know, Chris Lee got the only Lehigh touchdown and never played another game for Lehigh, and he was only a freshman. I think Lehigh remembers that big time.
All right, we're going to take a break and be back with more Lafayette-Lehigh thoughts and preview the big game 153 in the rivalry this weekend. Right now it's time, though, for a trivia question and give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. It does deal with the rivalry between Lafayette and Lehigh. What unique thing happened between these two teams with the series in 1891? Keith was not there covering the game, so cross that off your list. I wasn't going to say that. No, come on now. What unique thing happened great rivalry between the Engineers and the Leopards, or the Mountain Hawks? First, callers get priority, and here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special guest, Matt Kerr, the voice of the Lafayette football team, Paul Reinhardt.
You work with the voice of the Lafayette team.
The voice of the Lehigh football team.
There we go.
Paul Reinhardt, the beat writer for the Lafayette team. Keith, who's supposed to be representing Lafayette as an RCN employee, but he covers Lehigh.
Where's my paycheck? if I'm an RCN.
It's a title. It gets a title and prestige.
I got something for RCN Internet. It was the bill for my internet service. I signed up with internet and phone for RCN.
And they're amazing speeds. I almost said awesome, amazing. But
I have no complaints so far. I have no complaints.
Very good. All right. So Matt Kerr, Paul Reinhardt, Keith Grohler are here. Before we get to talking about the rivalry, just want to get your thoughts on the Patriot League overall. I know you kind of talked about the league overall being down, but Matt, you touched on Colgate's probably the best team on paper this year.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the standings, and I thought there was some interesting games this year, and get your thoughts on some of the teams you saw either Lafayette or Lehigh play, and your thoughts on some of the other teams in the Patriot League this year.
Well, I said it earlier. I think Fordham, if Lehigh isn't the most disappointing team, Fordham is.
Mm-hmm.
And they have they have a great quarterback, they have a great running back, but the quarterback missed some games. Chase Edmonds, who holds all the career Patriot League rushing records, didn't play a lot this year, and when he did, he wasn't himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably accounts for Fordham's record. Colgate, I repeat, is, you know, probably the best team.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Cross fired their coach in the middle of the season. That never happens in the Patriot League. Georgetown is Georgetown.
Yeah.
And Bucknell still can't figure out what they want to do offensively. They have a great defense this year. Georgetown had a good defense. Bucknell had a good defense. Lafayette probably has the best.
And let me ask you about Georgetown, because we're seen down there. We've been fortunate enough to have the coach on every year. And every year we have him on, he talks about all the young players and, you know, we're rebuilding. We're trying to make some mistakes and improve upon them each week to get ready for next year. And then here we are, I think, 3 or 4 weeks. We've been on in the D.C. market. We've been talking to them. And they're maybe worse than they were 3 years ago. So do you see any hope for them down there?
Well, they don't have scholarships. The whole rest of the league
even
does.
Even though they're allowed, they don't give them out.
Right. And that puts them behind the eight ball. When everybody else is given scholarships and you aren't, you know, that's difficult. Georgetown, their D coordinator last year is now the D coordinator at Lafayette, and he's done a great job there. Now, how he got away or how that worked out, I don't know. But
that's John Garrett's best, that was the best decision he's made yet since he was hired, was to get Luke Thompson to come there and be the defensive coordinator at Lafayette, because he knows the Patriot League teams. So when it came time to play Holy Cross, came time to play Fordham, came time to play these other schools, he knew how to scheme them. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew what to do. And Lafayette, the one thing that they do have is they have defensive football players, some pretty tough kids, some quick kids, some experienced kids, and they will play you. Yeah. They'll play you.
There was a point in time this season when I thought, if we could just get the Lafayette defense with the Lehigh offense, we'd have a national championship.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the way it works, I mean...
So you're suggesting a merger between the two schools.
Oh, I'm sure they go right for that. But no, I mean...
you're right.
The scholarship thing hasn't worked out as well, or maybe as quickly as we thought it would. Now, I think Lehigh is going to be good. You look at their depth chart. There's a lot of freshmen that are playing.
That are playing right now.
Absolutely. I've never seen. This is my 17th year of Lehigh football. I have never seen freshmen in starting roles and on that two deep the way they are this year. So you would think they keep getting better, get bigger, stronger, faster. They're going to be okay going forward.
But one of the things that I've heard the coaches talk about is that, yes, they've got these scholarship players, but they have fewer players than they had.
Yes, because of the rules, right?
Back in the day when they were just giving need-based scholarships. And when you get banged up as much as Lehigh has been this year, I mean, they're down to their third and fourth tight end. Mm. You know, they've had injuries in the defensive backfield, and that's where some of the young guys are now playing. The offensive line has shifted around, so you get injuries like that and you have fewer players, it takes a toll.
The 90-man roster is a killer. There's no question about that. That's deadly. And I think another thing that has hurt is that right along about the time that the Patriot League put scholarships in there, the Ivy League changed the way it gave out its need. And so now it's like, whatever you need, we'll give it to you. You know, they are giving out money like crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you figure that Al Bagnoli from Penn went to Columbia, and in 2 or 3 years, Columbia is a good football team now. You know, you used to want to play Columbia. Maybe you don't want to play them now because they are giving out the money. And so while it looked like maybe the Patriot League schools we're going to be able to get more kids from the Ivies, get them away, I think that is not happening, you know, with the regularity that they'd like to see it. You know, they're still losing to them because the Ivy changed.
And there's still that name recognition of the Ancient Eight.
And all. Well, yeah.
I mean, we have great institutions. I mean, nothing wrong with Lehigh Lafayette are outstanding. Georgetown, superb.
Right.
You know, they're
Fordham,
on down
too.
The line.
Fordham's a good school. Yeah.
But there's still something to be said. If I can go and get money to go play at a Princeton, a Yale, you know, Harvard. You know, it's tough to compete with that.
No, those are the main three. You know, those are the big three too that you just mentioned: Harvard, Yale, and Princeton.
Sure.
Those are the those are the main ones.
Well, Donald Trump would add
Cornell
Penn, too. He'd add Penn to the list.
But I mean, not a whole lot of people want to go to play at Cornell, maybe. And yet, you know that they're playing some good football, and Columbia is. So I think they just haven't gotten as many of the quality kids that I think they thought they were going to be able to grab some of them.
How can Yale still play in that awful stadium?
I mean, you know, I like doing games there.
Even you do?
You're
you
very
feel like
far.
It's history.
Because the Giants played there in the 70s and all of that. Harvard, too, which
it's a
is...
a concrete slab.
it's a big old concrete slab, though.
But I mean, you walk up those 120 steps to the press box, you know, at Harvard, I think it is, There's something about being there.
If you can live long enough to get up there.
It's like when I used to go to Franklin Field and sit up among the bird turds up in the top of the stadium. There was just something about that.
That's a good place to call a game. Lehigh played there last year, and you kind of hang
Franklin
from the
Field's
upper
nice,
deck,
yeah.
And great sight lines. And Lehigh's going to play there next year, I understand.
Yeah, we're kind of limited on where we go now, at least I am, on where I go with the road games. Mm-hmm. But those are great venues, and if you can get there. There's something about that history.
There's only one Ivy League team that Lehigh hasn't played in my 21 years, and that's Brown. And for whatever reason.
Not a great place.
That's in Providence, right?
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone line. So we have this is the first time we've ever had a Cromer on the line. Cromer from Bethlehem. Welcome to Sports Talk.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this evening. I believe you want to take a shot at a trivia question?
I know it's a very old rivalry, but I'm not sure how old, so I'd say that that's probably when they began this unique rivalry, the oldest rivalry in college football.
A good guess, but they go back even further than that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, thank you for giving us a phone call this evening, though. All right, we still have that trivia question out there. What unique thing happened with the Lafayette-Lehigh rivalry? Notice I say it the right way, Keith. You got to say it Lafayette-Lehigh, otherwise watch yourself going out the door here. Lafayette-Lehigh rivalry, what unique thing happened back in 1891 in that series? Paul, you had mentioned the defense being outstanding. Brandon Bryant, I think, was just named to the Buck Buchanan watch list. He's third in the nation in tackles, putting up some great numbers. Could you talk a little bit about how he has been this year and how much he has helped an already good defense?
Well, I mean, he's terrific. Last year, 2 years ago, he had 114 tackles. He was on his way to a big year last year, and there was a screwy play, one of those freak plays in the fifth game of the year where he collided with a teammate, and he tore his ACL, he tore his MCL, and he tore his meniscus. I mean, he really ripped it all up. And so he had to have all that redone, and he's back now. And he's just a terrific kid. He's a hard-nosed kid and a nice kid, and he's just he gets kids to play. You know, they'll play for him. He's very humble. Doesn't say a lot about himself, but he produces, and so that's a key deal. And they've got other guys with him. The defense has really been doing the job this year. They got Philip Parham, who's a defensive back, leads the nation in interceptions with 7, and he also leads it in the total passing. He's got 12 breakups or whatever you call those. You know, he's knocked down 12 passes in addition to those 7. So he's a terrific kid out there, and he's a senior. He's been playing since his freshman year, and they've got other kids, but Bryant is the heart and soul of that team.
Do you think that could continue now that they're laying the groundwork for a solid defensive team and they lose some people? They obviously have a lot of people back, too. Do you think that will continue for next year?
Well, I would hope that it would do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that Luke Thompson, the addition of him, every week those kids say he puts us exactly where we need to be, you know, and that's a key deal. And everyone seems to like Luke they're going there. What Lafayette needs is offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They need offensive linemen. And that's what every team in the Patriot Leagues needs, offensive linemen. And those are the kids that you're not getting away from the Ivy Leagues and the others. They're getting the guys who are down. They're down at the bottom of the bottom of the list there. That's why it's not a better league, because they don't have the offensive linemen. Yeah.
One other Lafayette player I wanted to ask you about, Nick Pearson. He was out for several weeks with an injury. He's been back the last couple games. I think against Colgate, 6 catches for 38 yards. Not a great game, but he kind of stood out on a day in which Lafayette couldn't generate a whole lot of offense.
Yeah,
he's just a sophomore. Is that one of the bright spots?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, he started out as a defensive player when he first came to Lafayette, and they moved him over onto offense, and he and Sean O'Malley, the freshman quarterback, seem to have really clicked, you know. So there are lots of times when O'Malley is looking for Pearson as his number one guy, and unfortunately, sometimes I think he's not getting off of Pearson when he's not open, and that hurts, you know. He's not always going to be open, you know. But he has made some really nice catches, been a part of that thing. The upsetting thing about the passing game for Lafayette is that Matt Mrazek, who had 71 catches last year and should have been fighting with Pelletier, you know, for the top receiver in the league, is suddenly like the invisible man. You know, he had 9 catches in the first game, 6 of them in the fourth quarter, and he's only had 18 catches in the last 9 games. It's baffling. It is baffling.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines and go to Terry in Bethlehem. Terry, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hello?
Hello, Terry, you're on.
Hi, Chris.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
I believe you want to take a shot at our trivia question, the unique thing that happened with the Lafayette-Lehigh rivalry in 1891. What's your guess?
Well, they played twice.
You're close.
And I'm happy to say that Lafayette won both.
Okay. Well, that's not quite the answer. They did play. There was a few years they actually played twice over the years. So something was rather unique in 1891, though. But thanks for giving us a call.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
I guess it's a Lafayette fan.
Sounded that way.
You sounded really excited.
One of your fans. All right. We're going to get to Keith's favorite part of the show. It's Groller's Grumblings, where Mr. Groller sounds off and talks about anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Okay. Well, look, we're very blessed here in the Lehigh Valley to have what I consider two treasures. The Lehigh-Lafayette game. I'm sorry, but Lafayette-Lehigh. And then 5 days later, the Easton Peabert game. Both are absolute treasures and the most well-attended sporting events in the Lehigh Valley. And I just hope these games continue long after I'm gone. I do want to salute. We're excited about the football. I think we have some great games this weekend. I'm really interested to see who wins that Palisades-Lehighton game, a battle of the undefeateds, 2-12-0s. And I think we have a chance. I think we have a chance to get a team or two to Hershey for the state finals. I know Becca's got a great opportunity. I think whoever wins the Palisades game, and certainly Parkland, maybe this is the year they get past St. Joe's Prep. But I just want to take 30 seconds to salute another fall program. I know they lost, but my goodness, 81 consecutive games the Emmaus Field hockey team won. Just an unbelievable feat. Several state championships. Look, at a lot of people around here, it's football or nothing in the fall. I get it. I understand it. And maybe if you don't like football, you like soccer. But field hockey is big around here. And the Emmaus field hockey program led by Subutz David is phenomenal, not only in the championships they've won, but millions, and I mean millions of dollars, have been earned by those kids getting college scholarships. She deserves a lot of credit. I know she's disappointed probably that they couldn't get another state championship. We do have a couple teams, by the way, Central Catholic Volleyball and what, Northwestern Boys?
Northwestern.
They're both going for the goal. I hope they get it. But hats off to the Green Hornets of the Emmaus Field Hockey Program.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, all of our panelists will talk about why Lafayette's going to win on Saturday. Keith's eyes are bulged out. You're working for the Lafayette station, Keith. Come on, you got to sell this a little bit. Quick reminder, though, coming up on RCN, we have some big games, two big games coming up this weekend. We'll have live coverage on RCN TV. The 6A game that Keith alluded to a moment ago, Parkland versus Freedom. I know the Patriot fans don't want to hear that Parkland's going to move on and play St. Joe's, but we'll see if Freedom can give them a battle tomorrow night live at 7 o'clock in the 6A championship game. Then, of course, on Saturday, our coverage on RCN TV begins at 12:30, the 153rd meeting between Lafayette, which is first, and Lehigh. More sports talk coming. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. No. Matt Kerr, Paul Reinhardt, Keith Groller joining me. Paul wants to have his own segment. What do you want to call it? Reinhardt's Grumblings? Or?
Yeah, no.
You're for his former boss. You can commandeer his spot.
Reinhardt's Grumblings isn't fair, but I'm an old guy. You know, I'm talking from the old guys, and we were talking to them in a break, and my thing about the football stadiums that where there's a long walk to the press box, or if you have a seat on the top row, you know, it doesn't have to be only the press box. And stadiums like Holy Cross, Delaware, they have, they're long walks, and they're pretty steep, and they have no railings on the stairs. And at 77, this is the first year that I feel that a little bit. You know, I want to have
a little railing. For a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. Well, and I mean, that's for fans too. It's not only for me, because I mean that Holy Cross press box. You know, the Patriot League has some of the worst press boxes in the country. Georgetown, that a press box? Holy Cross is an awful, awful press box. Terrible. But so there are some, and then there are some really nice places to go, you know. And really, Fisher Stadium is,
I think it's the best.
It's a good one.
I really think it is the best. Usually on a walk like me, I a lot of times if they let me, I do my stories at these high school press boxes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they'll let me leave the box, and they tell me just turn off the light and lock the door. But then it's pitch black darkness, and I'm going down steps at, you know, places like Palisades and Whitehall, and you talk about a little bit of a danger zone there.
No way.
You know.
All right, prediction time. Keith, remember, you're working for the Lafayette Sports Station, so if you want Mr. Kingsley to let you in at 6:58 every day, better temper your
man,
predictions.
By the way.
I know you love him.
I shocked him. I came at 6:55 today.
And he always features you. You didn't even talk about him on his video a couple weeks ago on the Morning Call website. He was featured prominently on one of those videos we posted.
I'll have to look.
He was disappointed you didn't come in and praise him about that.
Husky pride.
All right.
He's the man.
All right, predictions for this Saturday. Matt, we'll start with you. I'm assuming you're going to pick Lehigh.
So yeah, I am.
You can do whatever you want.
I think Lafayette's got a very good defense, but so did Georgetown, so did Bucknell, and Lehigh put 54 up on Georgetown and 42 on Bucknell, and I don't think they'll get anywhere near that many points, but I don't see Lafayette being able to outscore Lehigh, so I'm going to go Lehigh, let's say 21-14.
21-14, okay. Paul?
Well, I think, too, that Lehigh is going to win the football game. I just think there's too much offense, too many different types of weapons. If Bragg alone is running, then they're going to throw the ball, and those receivers, Casey and Pelletier and those that freshman kid and some of those others are going to be just too many weapons. I think that it's probably going to be maybe 31-17.
Okay.
You know, and if Lafayette scores 17 points, that's more than they would have scored in any Patriot League game this year. And it's just the Lafayette running game, it's non-existent. And if that suddenly comes to life, I'm going to be, my aortic aneurysm might pop. So stick around.
I hope that
Jim Guzzo, where is he?
Well, how's Lehigh been against the run? Because I know that a couple
terrible.
Games.
They were terrible.
That's their Achilles. That's their Achilles heel. They
300
big
with regularity.
Big gap. You know, 70-yard run, 66-yard run.
Remember, they lost at Fordham without Chase. I mean, Fordham didn't have Chase Edmonds, and they still torched them for like 300
third,
yards.
I believe he was their third running back, and he had over 200 yards that day.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm just wondering, maybe Lafayette's running game can be helped out by that, by having a weakness versus a weakness ends up being a strength.
Well, you never know. I mean, that could happen. I mean, that could go both ways. You know,
I think Lafayette probably will score more than they have to this point, but I don't think they can score more than Lehigh.
All right, Keith?
I'll just say, look, I believe that Lehigh has done nothing easy this year. I mean, there were some moments in even the Georgetown game, even the Bucknell game. I don't think it's going to be easy by any stretch, but I'm like with these guys, and I think that they'll find
Careful.
A way. They'll find a way. You know, look, at an upset wouldn't shock me, but I still think Lehigh will get it done, and it's going to be low scoring, relatively speaking, I think something like 27-17.
All right. Zaya, was that diplomatic enough that we can bring him back next year? He's okay, you're still good. Before we close up, we have a segment coming up with DMV high school football playoffs coming up in a moment. Something that I've really liked, I know Lehigh's done this in the past, and Lafayette's starting to do this the last couple of years, is bringing in Lehigh Valley players. They're not necessarily stars on both teams. Lehigh's had some stars over the years, especially the Shefnisky from Whitehall and Swank before him. But Lafayette's starting to bring in some local players. So could you give us an update on some of the Lehigh Valley players, especially those that aren't quite getting a lot of playing time, or might they have a future and more playing time looking a couple years down the road?
Well, Lehigh has Cam Richardson, who went to Northwestern as a wide receiver, has caught a pass or two this year.
Buskirk, right?
And Jake Buskirk, who's from Whitehall. Became a tight end this year. So he's getting closer because they keep losing tight ends.
He was a great blocker in high school.
But he was on the Lehigh roster as a linebacker.
And I know it's hard to get in, but I would like to see Andy Cohen and that staff make more of it. That helps everybody. I think it puts more people in the seats. It just makes the Lehigh Valley more energized about Lehigh football if there's more local products on that team.
And Lafayette, I think, has more Lehigh Valley former players from high school this year than they've had in the last several years.
They do have more now than they've had recently, and yet there's one that has not been playing that I wish was playing, and that's Jacob Bissell, the kicker from Parkland. Got hurt early in the year, and the kicking game has been hurt because of that. But right now, Mike Schiffert, who's another familiar name.
Nazareth.
He's been the long snapper for 4 years. I think he only missed one game in 4 years. And he's been a key local guy, too.
On the two-deep, they have that Trey Jordan, who was a quarterback at Notre Dame.
Isaiah Event from Liberty is on the two-deep on the defense. And also Parrish Simmons is on there
from Nazareth.
On the defense, too. So there are some local kids there for Lafayette now.
Yeah, and down from the D.C. area, Jeff Dordenbach, the freshman punter, who I think has been putting up some pretty good numbers. Has he been? He's from the Maryland area. So.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Well, he's been having a rough time lately. He got one blocked last week, and the week before he missed three. But he had a game-winning field goal. Right. Their first win of the year was on a Dordenbach field goal on the last play of the game. So that was definitely a key for Jeffrey, for sure.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck on Saturday. The game's at Lehigh.
It is.
All right. So, Keith, you'll be in good shape in the press box?
No, I just want to say thanks to these two guys. These are two of the great gentlemen.
Oh, absolutely.
And Lehigh Valley Sports. Matt's just been a professional and a great broadcaster for many, many years. Remember who your first color analyst was.
I had two of them at this table.
That's right. And Paul has been doing his thing for a long time at the morning call, and I hope he does it for a long time to come.
Very good.
All right, thanks for having us.
Yep, our pleasure. Have a great game on Saturday. Best of luck to whoever wins.
Nicely done.
Yeah. All right. Next week, we're going to be off. We're going to have a special encore edition, though. Bob Stemm and Bob Shriver will be here to talk about the Thanksgiving Day game, the Easton football rivalry over the years, and, of course, a few thoughts on Steve Schiffert and what happened there. Don't forget, we still have that trivia out there looking for the correct answer. What unique thing happened with the Lafayette-Lehigh rivalry in 1891? Since we didn't get a correct answer during our live show, if you're watching us on replay, listening to the podcast, or watching us on demand, you can email your answer to us, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we'll pick a winner on our next live show. Coming up, some DMV high school football talk. Welcome back once again to Sports Talk. A lot of exciting high school football action going on this time of year, especially in the DMV, where it is week two of the playoffs. And for more on DMV high school football playoff action, let's bring in Monet Anderson from Fox Sports. Monet, thanks for joining us on Sports Talk. Welcome.
It's all my pleasure, Chris. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, you've been doing a great job following all sports all year long on Fox Sports.
Absolutely.
And, of course, on Twitter and all your different vehicles down there. I'm curious, though, week two, first of all, let's go back to week one, first of all. A lot of exciting games among them. St. John's with a close win over DeMatha, but that was one of just a bunch of exciting games last weekend. So could you talk about the first week of high school football playoffs in the DMV?
Oh, my goodness. It has been a very exciting week. You know, I cover from D.C. to Maryland, Virginia. A little lukewarm in D.C., you know, enough time to get everywhere. That's your goal. Newspaper is for. So I keep up with my guys over there, D.C., and I will be over there. Thank you for thank you, Chris. But we can hit on that list. The first round is in the WCC, and that do not know, WCA is one of the toughest conferences in the United States. DeMatha went and put out to Las Vegas for the first game of the season and faced Bishop Gorman, which, of course, a national powerhouse. The WCA is really doing things and gathering a national schedule But the speech on semantic was actually a rematch from years ago, the regular season, and a rematch from last year's UCAC championship. So this was a big anticipation. It was a full house there, and it was a back-and-forth game. You didn't know the actual ran out who was going to win this one. You're talking about teams with fantastic players, a plethora of one out on the field going head-to-head with one another. So it was a nail-biter for sure. But, you know, as we always say, to beat a team twice with UP.
Yeah.
But St. John did. And they came out victorious, Samantha.
Yeah, it's one of a bunch of great games this weekend. Going back for the regular season and for last week, who are some of the top teams that you've seen so far this year?
Some of the top teams I've seen this year, traveling out to Waldorf, Charles County, there's a team out there by the name of North Point, and this is one of the teams that have some really great athletes flying under the radar. And, of course, that's one of the things I try to bring the athletes to the forefront, give them some positive exposure. You know, they don't have the interest and offers at a 4 or 5-star athlete. So I try to get them out there and give as much exposure as possible. But North Point played a Arundel, and Arundel was to win as the underdog. But I tell you, it was a shootout. The team, both of them knew that it was win or go home last weekend, and they played their hearts out. Arundel came away with the win. North Point pulled it out final minute.
Yep. As far as some of the other top moments this year, I know there's a lot of great players. A lot of them are nationally, the teams are nationally ranked, and a lot of Division I players who are looking to go to big schools. Who are the players that have stuck out in your mind so far? And do you have any news as far as news made over the last couple weeks as far as which players might be going to which big schools?
Well, you know, National Signing Day is coming up very soon in a couple of months. So a lot of the guys are holding out. They're holding out to go to these big Under Armour games and do their big commitments. But I'm scouring the internet to see where they're visiting. You know, a lot of the seasons have ended for some of the players, so they to do the visits. I'm watching very closely. St. John's quarterback, Kevin Doyle, he is a Michigan commit. And you know, we definitely look forward to seeing him go out there and do his thing for Michigan. There's also a young man by the name of Raymond Boone. Raymond attends Roosevelt High School out of Greenville. Roosevelt is one of those schools where they have a ton of talent. They're still in the playoff hunt, and Raymond Boone, he's all over social media right now, making a big deal out of playing the number one school in the Maryland 4A. But Raymond Boone is played to the University of Maryland. And Chris, I'm not sure if you know what the University of Maryland has in the DMV. They have a logo. It's called UMD DC to UMD Stay Home Movement. They're trying to gather all of the athletes in the area and get them at right here in Maryland. So the movement is strong. The movement is in effect, and athletes, Raymond Boone is one of the young men who has committed just recently to Maryland
out. Yeah, it's great to keep them home, keep that pipeline, and also you get the local interest. You get all the family members and the friends going out, which certainly will help from
Absolutely.
A PR standpoint and from attendance. You mentioned social media, too, and I know you're very involved in interacting with kids, and they respond, and you send pictures and videos. How much has that changed over the last few years, and you know, how has that enhanced people following high school football and high school sports in general?
Well, I think it's huge, Chris. You know, I speak to some athletes who are a little older, and they say, wow, if I would have had that when I was coming up, I could have been playing a D1 level. I could have been, you know, and it's dot, dot, dot. But the social media is so huge right now for the recruitment process. That's where the scouts and the school recruiters are heading to watch these guys. The huddle film is there. You get to see them interviewing. You get to see plays immediately after games. You can see how they're performing all season long simply by clicking on social media.
Yeah. I know you have a big weekend coming up. You're going to have games Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Could you talk a little bit about those games? And then also Thanksgiving is the following week, which is back down in the DMV. There's still a lot of great Thanksgiving Day football games, a lot of traditions that are played there. Can you talk about your weekend and a little bit about the Thanksgiving Day matchups coming up next week as well?
Yeah, Chris, another big weekend for me. I was out all last weekend. You know, I don't think I got very much sleep, but that's okay because it was for good high school football.
Yeah.
But this weekend, I'll start off on Friday at Freedom High School. Freedom and Hilton, which are two really big schools in the Prince William County area, they will be clashing head-to-head. It's almost, it reminds you of the CAC, St. John's, DeMatha type mm-hmm. of matchup, but it's in the public school arena. So that's going to be a really huge game for the Virginia 6A. Next on Saturday is the final WCAC. St. John's and Gonzaga will face off once again. They face each other in regular season. St. John's comes to the winner. Again, I say it's difficult to beat a team twice in a couple weeks, but we'll see how that final turns out. Then, Chris, I'm going to travel up to Baltimore and look at the MIAA conference, and that will hit St. Francis and Gilman against one another. This is going to be an interesting one. St. Francis beat Gilman in the regular season 50-0. So, you know, it'll be good to see Gilman step up and show how competitive they can really be and give a good game to St. Francis. So we'll see how that will pan out as well. And then, oh, we got the Turkey Bowl.
Yep.
And that will be two of our schools. It will be H.D. Woodson, I'm sorry, and Blue, facing off on Thanksgiving Day. I believe that's 11 a.m. game, and should be a big one as well.
Yeah. It's great to see those rivalries and the Turkey Day games continue down there. Monet, thanks that's so much. Thanks so much for joining us and continued success. A great job covering high school sports in the DMV.
All right, Chris, thank you so much.
All right, that's Monet Anderson from Fox Sports. Again, make sure you follow her on Twitter, at Lady Broadcaster, her Twitter handle. And that'll do it for tonight's edition of Sports Talk. We're off next week for the holidays, but we do have a special encore show for you next Thursday. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.